Welcome back to Quests to the Core, a space where we explore mindsets and moments that shape how we lead, learn, and live. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Today we're diving into something every learner, leader, and trainer needs to understand. That is the zone of optimal learning. You know, that space between where you're just uncomfortable enough to grow, but not so overwhelmed that you shut down. It's that sweet spot between not knowing something and knowing something. This is where the real learning happens. Today, we're going to talk about how to find that space, what it feels like, and why it's often missed.
This topic is so timely, especially when we think about developing ourselves, pushing ourselves and getting inside of that zone, but also as leaders, how do we develop others? Whether we're working with employees on delegating a task, or we are training in a classroom for development, pushing people too far or not far enough can really impact negatively when we think about knowledge transfer, information gained, insights that are awakened inside of them, as well as motivation and ultimately the growth. How do we get into and stay in this optimal zone when we are learning something new, but then also how do we create that for others? So the zone of optimal learning is that space between curiosity to clarity. You can have an interest in something, but not necessarily really ignite the curiosity and dive into it. It is about taking that curiosity and going on this journey and potentially battling confusion and maybe even some, I'm throwing my hands up and I don't know what I'm doing, but to ultimately get to that level of clarity. Simone, can you share with us your thoughts on this zone of optimal learning?
Yes, I love the word zone because it is this whole space and it's not necessarily a destination. And oftentimes as leaders, we want to just give clarity to someone. Well, we're robbing employees by just giving that clarity immediately. There's this whole zone that if you go through, you're going to own it more. Because there's this whole emotionality that you go through. You get panicked about, oh my God, can I do this? But if you're just given all the answers, you lose your ownership. So I think this zone is a very important topic for us to consider and play around with inside of this journey of being a leader. As leaders, we've got to guide our employees through learning new things, so that they can be the expert in doing that task. Unless we recognize that it's a process other than just saying they have a learning curve. Well, what are we doing about the learning curve for them? And that's what our topic is today. How do we help employees and ourselves with that learning curve?
Well, it's not easy. You know, sometimes the best way that I have learned how to do something is I've just dove in, had no idea what I was doing, and figured it out myself. And ultimately, that is a great way of learning because we deepen that learning. Whereas somebody just tells us or shows us how to do it, our learning is surface level. We miss out on a lot of the elements that we could be taking away from the situation. It's hard because as leaders, we want the clarity because clarity equals control. We can figure the situation out. We know how to handle it. We set our minds on it and we can accomplish it. Whereas this zone creates this space where there's not clarity and clarity has to come from within as opposed to somebody just giving it to us.
It's a catch 22 because, oh, I need clarity. So I'm going to ask somebody for clarity. But then we often forget that we need to then be clear about the clarity given. So there's a lot of clarities in that sentence.
Yeah.
But it's important that you can't just be given the clarity. You've got to be willing to look at it to say, am I clear on that? And what questions do I have about that? How do we get into this zone that we're talking about? That's the fundamental question.
It's one of those things where I wish there was an exit sign where we could say, okay, exit here for the zone of optimal learning. We would know exactly what we were getting ourselves into. But that's not always the case. And I will share a perfect example of people not recognizing that this is such a beneficial part of the learning process. One of the times I was facilitating a leadership training, and at the end of the day, an individual came up to me and they were like, I'm going to provide you some feedback and you probably are not going to like what I'm going to say. I've been so confused all day long. I don't even know what questions to ask. I don't feel like I've gotten anything from it. And I got this big grin on my face and I was like, I am so excited because this is exactly where you need to be. That state of confusion and not understanding is that zone.
I love it when they raise their hand in the middle of a session or when an employee says, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I see the angst because they appear as if, oh, there's something wrong because I don't understand. Some people are so apologetic. I just stop them. I'm like, no, this is perfect. Be confused. Let's talk about it. Let's explore this. To me, you know, the sign of confusion is they're starting to grapple with it. I want them to grapple with the hard things. I want it to be hard, not to overwhelm someone, because if you overwhelm them, you're going to push them outside of this zone. But that means that they're trying to take this new information and integrate it with their thought process to shape how they're going to do something. That's really where true learning happens. You can't just really learn this theory and say, now I'm an expert in this theory. No, you're not. You learn it because it's so you get given this information. And you have an interest in it because we talked about the zone starts at curiosity and goes through to clarity. The fundamental question is, how do you get to curiosity? And it starts with interest. We had said before in an earlier podcast, not all interest turns into curiosity, but curiosity really can't start without an interest. So as a leader, as a trainer, as a public speaker, you hear often of, give them a hook. Mm-hmm. Well, that's that interest. You get them interested to then shift it to curiosity. How do you take them, you know, from that interest to the curiosity? And it really starts with, you know, our last episode or two episodes ago about thinking. It starts with teaching people how to think and encouraging that thinking. So you start them off with this interest, then they start to play around with the curiosity. And you know you've passed them through those channels when they come confused, because they're standing around in it, exploring it, and dancing around with these concepts.
And it's great being on the outside looking in, because you can see the gears turning. Mm-hmm. When people start thinking, when you do open that gate with the thinking into interest, moving into curiosity, you really do see people grappling with, mm-hmm. I don't know what I don't know, but I know that I need to know something about this. Then how do we help people through that? And how do we help ourselves through that? There is a model from cognitive development that focuses in on children's learning, but it applies to adult learning as well. But Vygotsky, his theory basically says there is this zone of proximal development. It's very similar to what we're talking about. In this model, it's like a three-ringed circle. The inner circle is the knowledge that we have. That things that we can do, we know we don't have to ask questions, we can go on autopilot, we can get those things done. The outer ring of this model is the state of panic. This is where if we're overwhelmed, if we cannot even conceptually understand any of the concepts, there's no learning that's going to take place. But that inner circle is what is classified as that zone of proximal development. And typically within this model, it's talked about the support that is given in that zone of proximal development. It is, how can you rely on maybe subject matter experts, or what coaching can you receive, or what facilitator can help you grasp whatever this information that you're trying to gain. And as you move through that information within that zone of proximal development, it then moves into that center circle. So that zone is really focused on collaboration, because you really can't grow in your knowledge all by yourself. Same thing with this zone of optimal learning that we're talking about. We can't have this interest and curiosity. Sure, we could go to Google, we could Google all kinds of stuff, watch all kinds of videos. But when we start talking to others, or when others are sharing or imparting information to us, it really does create this breadth and depth to the information that we gain.
I think it's that sharing where it becomes alive. It existed in words before, so you read it and you get it. There's something emotionally going on inside. This is exciting information, so I go share it with someone, and it's in the retelling of that information. You're building your own words for it, your own conversation, and it deepens it. It deepens it as learning, and it deepens it as knowledge and capability. And you're right. It cannot happen individually. No matter how smart you are, you've got to talk about it, apply it. That's where it becomes real, more than just words on a page.
And sometimes that zone can feel very uncomfortable. I like to tell people during development sessions that my ultimate goal, my overall objective, is to push them outside their comfort zone. And I'm sure many people will comment how often I have pushed people outside their comfort zone, but people do feel stretched. However, we want to make sure that they stay engaged into that zone. And I had one individual, part of a leadership development program that is over the year and meets several weeks in person. And during one of those sessions, she came up to me and said that she went home and cried to her husband, literally was boohooing because she wasn't sure she was in the right place and thought that she needed to withdraw from the development because there was just no way she was going to be able to complete this. She says that she's now the poster child of development, going from what she knew or what she thought she knew, and really swimming in that space of this zone of optimal learning and getting curious and continuing to be engaged and motivated, and now can reflect upon and see how much she has grown and how she handles certain situations.
Yeah, that's a real worry of pushing them too far. And I've seen it happen. I unfortunately have done that to some students as well. There was one that was crying to me, I can't do this. And it was a real wake-up call for me. I had to step back. And it's like, but you can. That's the thing. And she's like, well, I don't understand these words. She was dyslexic. There was a whole bunch of other history that was popping up for her that it was pretty early in my career when this happened. I was training trainers. What happened was I brought in concepts that were too high that were completely unnecessary. It was just me trying to show what I knew. I think that's a real danger. I see that where either the public speaker or the trainer sets themselves up to be one that's admired. And the smartest in the room. What that's actually doing is closing the door to that zone, because there is this sweet spot of interest for that interest to turn to curiosity. They could be interested enough to where it shifts to admiration. They think you're great. She's part of my community. This is wonderful. But then when you try to get them to that learning piece, they're like, oh, I can't do that. Yeah. So you've missed, or you've screwed up the lane. You took the lane of I want them to admire me versus that lane of how do I get them to being curious about this information. And so for that one example where the person was crying when I was training trainers, I wasn't in that zone to get them curious about the skill. I got them in the zone of they admired the fact that I was a great trainer. And it's I see it often with particularly newer trainers. I have seen it with some more experienced ones as well, too, that haven't quite got the grasp of it. But I missed that. I didn't help get her to that zone. And it is a fine line, because this whole area is filled with emotion.
Mm.
And you want it to be there.
It needs to be there.
It needs to be there. In order for that learning to be grasped, for somebody to own it, that they need to have some sort of emotionality through it.
And I think for us, whether a leader, trainer, facilitator, even parent, it is about making sure that there's that psychological safety that's present, because we want to give people permission that's within this zone. It's okay to fail. It's okay not to know. It's okay to ask the quote stupid question. Mm-hmm. It's okay to sit in it and wonder and reflect and use that curiosity to help push them through. So that psychological safety piece is important for us to recognize, because if we're not in the space of creating that optimal mm-hmm. environment mm-hmm. for them to get into that zone of optimal learning, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. The permission to fall flat on your face, because it's a safe zone to do that, and then ask about it. I know through a lot of the programs that you and I have put together in the past, and reflection was part of all of it. Not just, okay, go home and reflect on this, but even right after, asking those reflection questions.
Well, and I think it helps get them to that clarity by you being able to gauge where they're at in that process. Because mm-hmm. if they don't know what questions to ask, and they don't share where they're at on this journey within the zone, then you're not able to provide additional information or additional guidance to help them through this state of curiosity and confusion to get to that clarity.
So that's it. There's so much to unpack inside of this particular zone. You know, talked about the, you know, it being okay to fail, for having emotions in there, the reflection piece of it. The reflection is so important for managers. If you've got an employee that's just finished a project, have reflection time with them. Tell me about what you learned from this project. And then they'll list all of the, well, I learned how to do this, how to do that. And then follow up with the question, well, what'd you learn about yourself?
I love that question.
In this project, right?
Yeah.
And then how would you apply that for the future? That part of it, they're quiet all the time when I ask that question. And I just let them sit in the space of it. They'll have answers, but then the next time we talk, I'll ask them again. And then they've got more, because they've been introduced to the opportunity to reflect. And they go, and that question works on them, you know, as they're driving home that night or for the next several days. And then the next one-on-one, ask them that question again. And just the whole conversation is very, very rich.
Well, and the emotional piece to it, I think, is important. We talked about how this whole, you know, zone is full of emotions. And a lot of times people have to process those emotions before they can answer that question. They have to recognize what it was that they went through in order to say, hey, this is really what I learned about myself. It's much easier to focus in on, well, this is what I learned what not to do or what to do in mm-hmm. this particular project. But for ourselves, it is breaking down those emotions that we experienced and how that impacted us and what that meant for us and how are we going to show up next time, right, as we encounter something similar. And I think because we create the space, right, we're intentional about creating the space for people to get into this optimal zone. Unfortunately, as leaders and, you know, even as we're leading ourselves and thinking about how do we grow, a lot of times we leave that zone too soon.
Yeah. And I think it starts with, we hear so much on in magazine articles, journal articles, books, give clarity, reward your people. So in the leader pursuing clarity for their employees, it may drive an unintended result of, here, let me just give you the answer, saying things like, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to delegate this to you, and here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it. That's just telling them. They've got the answer key. Just like if you use ChatGPT and you get the answer that there are this thing you're going to write, and you just copy and paste it, you're not attached to that. You need to read what ChatGPT came up with and integrate it. And then it's yours. So leaders will just give the answer. And as they're doing that, what that is also creating is this whole culture of do what I say. It's a compliance culture. Here's how we do things. It's not a learning culture. A learning culture is going to have a lot more inquiry, curiosity around playing around with the problem before trying to come up with the solution to a problem. A learning culture is going to have multiple possible solutions to a problem and then pick one and try it. And if it doesn't work, you have another one on the list to go to. I think that's why people leave it too soon, because we got to have clarity trying to have it an answer for a problem right away. I went through a lot on that, but it's a danger.
Well, it really is. But we know without the struggle, someone is not going to take that learning and be able to transfer it as well. So we're actually, through a learning culture, creating creativity, innovation, because they're learning and struggling through this particular situation, coming up with multiple possibilities. And then therefore, we are creating meaningful learning for them that they're able to apply in other similar situations, and maybe not even similar situations. Mm-hmm. They're able to take that and think really creatively and innovatively in order to solve some really big problems.
That's what makes the learning sticky, is when there is that path of struggle that you went through to get there.
It's tough because as leaders, we are asked for clarity. We're asked for performance. We're asked for a solution. It is our ability to know when the right time is to provide the clarity and when the right time is to open the space, create the space for that optimal zone of learning.
You can give clarity about the expectation, not the answer. When you delegate a task or a project to an employee, are you saying, hey, what's your plan? Or here's how I want you to do your plan. Or won't you give me your plan by Friday? Okay, you may think that you're creating a space for thinking. Why not just say, you'll need to have a plan by mid next week. So why don't you go play around with this a little bit and let's talk about what you're going to include in your plan. Or what do you want to include in your plan? As I've shared this with you, what are your thoughts that are coming up right now? Help them with the thinking. Don't have them start thinking on it right away, because they're going to jump to that solution rather than think about what's my process for getting this done? What's my thinking for getting this done versus I'm getting it done. It's very nuanced.
It is. And I think it's allowing the ambiguity, and ambiguity is not something that people sit well with. It is basically pushing people into this. Okay, here's the ultimate ask, but go swim in the unknown. And for, you know, us as leaders, it's really hard to resist giving the answer. It's really hard for us to resist the fix of this is going to be so simple. We could just tell them what to do and it'd be done. But understanding when the right time is for that can be a challenge.
Well, and I also think part of the reason people leave the zone too early is society's insistence on a performance culture. We're pushing a performance culture, but what we're doing is actually creating a compliance culture. Because when you think, okay, they need to perform, the translation is get it done fast. A lot of people think that's performance. Why not dance around with, okay, what does performance mean? Yes, we want it done, but we want it the best solution that's going to beat our competitors by 15%. Okay, that's a whole different conversation than get it done fast.
It is.
Because you're going to come up with different options. You're going to have risks mitigated already by the time you get there. And so you're dancing around with a stronger solution that's going to drive a higher performance. So if you've got it inside of a learning culture, you're expecting learning to happen along the way. I think you can get to a stronger performance perspective than just high performance is like get it fast and done now. That's more of a compliance culture.
I agree with you. Trying to stay competitive in today's market is not going to be from a compliance standpoint. It is going to be creating those innovative solutions. So quality over quantity, but it also has to happen at a faster pace. Mm-hmm. And understanding how we get people into the zone and how do we support people through this zone can help expedite that process.
This is interesting because I think this positions learning and growth as a strategic advantage. So as an employee, the ability to learn is a strategic advantage. It's prospective employees, current employees, because really being willing to step into that gap between what you know and you don't know and explore it, you come out of the other side to the knowing part with a much stronger solution rather than just giving a bunch of weak answers that have repetitive sentences in it.
Well, and I think that also brings us to, right, upskilling and reskilling for future work, because we don't know what the future looks like, you know, for any industry. And lots of research, lots of topics on, okay, what skill sets do we need to provide? Ultimately, it boils down to teaching people how to learn means that they can learn anything. So regardless of what the industry looks like, regardless of what skill set they need, if we can teach them how to learn and how they learn best, then we've set them up for the future. The thought process that I have, right, like this space is at the heart of the quest to the core. We're inviting people to go on this journey with us. And in order to really get the most from it, this space has to be available and we have to be comfortable in this space. So comfortable in the uncomfortable, comfortable with the confusion, comfortable with the curiosity, because not only will we get more out of our quest and our journey, but we'll also help create other learners, other individuals who are on their quest, as well as create better leaders.
I love that. It is at the core of Quest to the Core.
Our next episode is Reflection Matters in Leadership. As a reminder, this episode and other resources are available on our website, www.questtothecore, and 2 is with the number 2. And a very special thanks to Grammy recognized number 1 hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. His information is referenced in our resource section on our website. Thanks, Cliff.
And as we're signing off, I'll leave you with one last thought. That growth lives in the gap between what you know and what you're brave enough to explore. So until next time.